Morning. We've had a really busy but beautiful Sunday morning here already through our two worship services. Today we have a very special worship service lined up. It's Accessibility Sunday. We're celebrating that today. It's going to be beautiful. But before we start, they have just a few announcements that I'd like to make. First, we're still in need of some Lenten devotionals, and so if you would like to participate, if you could get one to Jim Cook by tomorrow, that would be awesome. But we still need some Lenten devotionals. Today, I want to let everybody know that after this service, there are two things happening. First, we're having a reception for our much-beloved Rosemary Davis, who is retiring after 9 years as our parish visitor. There's a reception happening in the atrium. There's some snacks over there, some cake, a gift that we'd like for you to sign. But just go and express your love and gratitude to Rosemary for a job well done all these years. She has offered so much of herself in terms of just praying with people who have been in need of healing and just providing love and support to families, and she's been a real treasure, so we want to celebrate that. Also, we are having artist reception for the Gainesville Fine Arts Association, their winter show. There's lots of great artwork on the second floor of the education wing. You might have already seen it this morning if you had Sunday school. But you can stop by there, meet the artists. I think they're serving some food there, too. And just look at the exhibition. Tonight, here in the Worship Center, is the Talent No Talent Pie Auction. It supports the Friendship Accessibility Ministry that we are celebrating today. We're going to hear more about it in just a minute. We have some great talent lined up. The pies and the baked goods are always a hit. It is in the Worship Center, not in the youth building. Your bulletin says youth building, but it's in the Worship Center at 6 o'clock. It's a really good time. It's put on by our youth group. We encourage you to come and join in the fun. Next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, and it is not just a football game being played that day, but Super Bowl as an S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl. Sunlight Youth Choir is having a fundraiser. They are offering four soups, corn chowder, chicken tortilla, chili, or vegetable. It comes with crackers, roll, and dessert only for $8 to support the choir as they prepare to go on tour this summer. So that will be in the atrium after this service next week. You can have a nice hot bowl of soup for lunch to support the choir at the same time. At this time, I'd like to invite my friend Bill Berger to come up to tell us about something that's happening on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in, I think it's room 234, the 232, the Trinity Foundation is sponsoring an educational workshop, which will be conducted by a representative from the Florida United Methodist Foundation. He will be with us, and it'll be a very educational workshop, which is, we're calling it Faithful Expressions. Help you consider the many ways that you can ensure the gifts that God has given you will continue supporting those you love and the ministries that you value long in the future. Said another way, it's kind of an estate planning workshop. Just so you know, in 1995, the Trinity Foundation was established, and initially with a contribution of $100,000. We have been accumulating that, and last year we really started actively revitalizing the foundation. And just for your information, we distributed some income. We contributed to part of the sidewalks that the trustees did. We made a small contribution to an organization associated here with Family Promises, and we also made a year-end contribution for the call to action. The point is that the foundation is designed to provide support for church purposes that are not part of the budget. And it's an enduring opportunity to provide long after somebody's gone, maybe for something that you have in mind. So, again, Wednesday night, and we hope you can be a part of it.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you for your leadership on Trinity's foundation. Before we get to the mission box, I wanted to make one relevant announcement about mission. We have a team leaving to visit our sister church in Cienfuegos, Cuba on Wednesday as well, and they are John Newsom, very own Janet Holly, sitting behind the organ over there, and Alma and Sanford Mayo will be going to Cuba on Wednesday. So we invite you to be remembering them in prayer this week. Now time for our mission box. Andy, come on up. This morning's mission box is for the Friendship Accessibility Ministry, and hear more to tell us about that is Andy Jasperson.
Hello, my name's Andy Jasperson. Today's mission box is for people with different kind of disabilities, even if it's severe, minor, or anything. Give as much money as you can, but don't give it all away. Thanks.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy. Yes, if you do give as much as you can to any of the five mission boxes at the back of the worship center, the wooden boxes, as you leave. And so, as I said, this is Accessibility Sunday. We're celebrating people of all abilities. And Andy, having kicked us off with the mission box, now I have my friend Wanda Baker, who's going to do her part in our service this morning.
Good morning. My name is Wanda Baker. I'm a member of Trinity and a member of the Accessibilities Group. I have cerebral palsy. I also am an author with two published books. Trinity has been such an inspiration to me that when another opportunity for me to participate in Accessibility Sundays, I did not hesitate to ask Pastor Dan if I could do the welcome. Of course, you said yes. Now it is my honor and my pleasure that I ask you to join me as I lead you in our welcome. Welcome home. While we're here, amen.
Amen. Would you please join me in this call to worship? Lord, how awesome it is that we can gather here today and loudly sing praises to your name and know that we are standing in your presence. Lord, I can't stand. I use a wheelchair and there is no place for my chair. It is really great, Lord, that we are able to hear you speak through the proclamation of the word this morning. I'm sorry, God. I didn't hear what was said. And Lord, it's so fantastic to be able to read your word along with the pastor and to recite the creeds and litanies. This morning, my vision is dim, God. I cannot read the bulletin or screens. Lord, we really feel blessed that we understand everything that is happening around us in the church in this hour. God, why do I learn so much slower than others and must feel week after week that I do not really belong here? Open us, O God. Make us accessible to your Spirit and accessible to all your people. Amen. And now would you please stand and sing with us. As an act of worship, let us declare our faith using this affirmation from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to invite my friend Roger Schofield to come forward now. He's going to lead us in our time of prayer. And as he comes, if we could have the slide of the folks who are in the hospital and rehab. Lori Beasley and Joanne Thayer have actually been released from the hospital, and they've been admitted to Select Hospital, which is kind of an intermediary hospital between hospital and rehab, so they're doing better, but still need our prayers. Robin Harris, Courtney Allen's mother, is still battling pneumonia and needs our prayers. Joan Knute, and then those folks there in rehab, and of course, those names who are on your hearts this morning, friends, family, loved ones of yours that are in need of healing as well. We want to lift those this morning, and we are privileged to be led in prayer today by Roger, so let us pray.
Good morning, everybody. Lord, we come to you for prayer and thanksgiving for those who have joy we celebrate with them. We ask for those who have hardships that you lend your hand upon them. May we all find something to bring us hope and joy regardless of circumstance. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we give those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Charles Chancel. Ushers, would you please come forward now as we prepare to worship God with our offering this morning, and as they come, let me pray. Gracious God, you are indeed the giver of every good thing in our lives, and as we give back to you now from what you gave to us, we pray, God, that you multiply these gifts, our tithes and our offerings. Have your will and your way with them for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Janet. This, you know, this facility and your campus is used 7 days a week. This coming Thursday, the Alachua County Schools will host them and their Teacher of the Year Award. And it'll be packed with lots of people. And one of the finalists, the three finalists, is Ray Crone. Many of you knew Ray, who grew up in this church and is retiring. He's been a phys ed teacher for many, many years. We've, these last several weeks, the weeks of January, have been focusing our thoughts and prayers and inspiration on Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And it goes like this, be strong. He said to me, that's the next passage, that's in Corinthians. Joshua 1, 9 is, be strong and of good courage, do not be frightened or afraid. Because I am with you wherever you go. And we've lived that out, and we've heard it preached about. President Fox from the University of Florida preached about that kind of thing with joy at the university setting. Then the following week, Reverend Aaron preached about that in your ordinary everyday living, the strength that comes from God. Last Sunday was Bethune-Cookman University Chorale. Amazing. And wherever you go, across racial lines or whatever, these young people who presented so powerfully and beautifully well. Next Sunday, we're going to conclude that series, and there's going to be a special gift and a special treat. I hope you'll be here for that next Sunday. Today, a special treat. After I say a few words, you'll get to hear Myra Monroe Carr. She needs no introduction, really, if you've been in this town for more than a year or two. She's a TV personality. You saw her on TV 20 for a number of years. She helped start GTN and is involved with the university teaching people how to be a wonderful anchor. We're thrilled that Myra is here to speak today. You may not know Megan Poole. Megan is also up here, and Megan's a 16-year-old junior at PK Young High School. She'll tell you about herself. I'll say that she has a mild case of cerebral palsy. I also saw her at the PK Young production of West Side Story last spring. Was so inspired and impressed by the whole cast and by this particular young woman, who I later learned is a member of Trinity and a member of the Sunlight Choir. She won't tell you this, so I will. She's received superior ratings in the state level for thespians in acting and musical theater. You'll perceive that when she speaks. And we'll be attending her for the third year in a row, the Nationals for Speech and Debate, Duo Interpretation of Literature. She's active in Sunlight, P.K. Young Vocal Ensemble Groups, P.K. Young's Dance, Drama and Musical Production, a member of the National Honor Society. Her brother, Douglas, is in eighth grade. Her parents are Monica and Michael. My part of the sermon, I want to focus on this other text from 2 Corinthians, if you would bring that up now, Scott. 2 Corinthians. The context here is Paul, and this is a sort of a different look at how we gain our strength. Paul has the thorn in the flesh. Prior to this, he was transported into heaven and had this heavenly vision. And then he comes down and he acknowledges that he has a thorn in the flesh and has prayed to God that it would be removed three times. He's prayed this. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. There's speculation that it might have been epilepsy, might have been depression, might have been migraines. It might have been a person who was a thorn in the flesh. We really don't know. But instead of removing the thorn in the flesh, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." This is so counterintuitive to everything we hear in the news and everywhere else in our society. We believe so much in power, power, power. But here he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I briefly share this observation and see if you agree with me or not. My observation is that families who have a member in their family with a disability, whether a child, a sibling, a parent, and they embrace that person with a disability, those members are often, very often, most often, very kind, caring, tender, understanding, yes, Christ-like to that family member, and beyond that, to others. That's my observation. Have you observed that as well? I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about two things. I'm not talking about the cause of any disability, that God did this so that. That's God's understanding, and I don't fully comprehend that. And the second, I'm not talking about the exhaustion and the challenges that come with it, and there are numerous and many. Simply, the point that I've often observed, that families who have a member with a disability often rally and are very tender, caring, loving, kind to that person and to others. They somehow incorporated what Paul's talking about in this text, that God's grace is sufficient for them, that God's power is made perfect, and that something transforms those family members. And what is true of families can also be true of churches. Because when we as a church embrace persons in our midst and beyond with accessibility challenges, the same spiritual dynamic happens. We become more understanding, more caring, more tender, more in tune with persons who may appear or be different than we are. And God's grace comes to us with a sense of kindness and tenderness. And what's true of families and can be true of churches can also be true then of communities and countries. And as we embrace persons who are different or perceived to be different, it begins to change us. One of the great acts in human history in this country was in 1990 with the acceptance and the passing of the Americans with Disability Act. It helped facilitate the embracing of persons and welcoming them into our buildings and into our lives. Contrast, and this isn't meant to bash Russia, I'm just an observation, that my few trips to Moscow, what I've noticed, I'm very aware that persons with disabilities have no way of entering these buildings in downtown Moscow. There's just simply no way. There are always three or four or five steps up into them, so they're automatically excluded, maybe not intentionally, but you read the literature and you look at the society, and there's a closingness to that, and one might say a harshness. So that when the dean of the Methodist Theological Seminary, which I'm on that board, Olga was here, she spent a lot of time taking pictures of our fully accessible playground. She'd never seen anything like it and wanted to take it back and make it a part of the Methodist churches in Russia. So, you see, Paul's learning for himself and teaching others this great lesson that we would not naturally know, that true strength comes from God, and that awareness of that true strength comes from embracing and accepting our own limitations and our own disabilities. For therein, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so my question to you today is, what's that one area in your life that you might want to deny is there? You might want to disregard. You might want to act as if it's not there. But if you embrace it and you give it over to God and allow His strength to be made perfect in your weakness, for in when I am weak, I am strong. Now, I'd love to have Myra come, and then after Myra, Megan will come and share with you. Thanks, Myra.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited about Accessibility Sunday and the opportunity to share my testimony with you today. My family stepped into the special needs journey when God gave us our precious daughter, Mariana. She's 12 years old now, and she's turning 13 in May, so she's going to be a teenager, and she's absolutely amazing. And oh, by the way, she has Down syndrome. Mariana has blessed our whole family, especially our 15-year-old son, Monroe, who is simply the best big brother that any little girl could ask for. My husband, Rob, and I are proud of both of them. I trust that God knew what He was doing when He put our family together. And I trust that He knew the challenges that we were going to face. He knew that there would be medical issues. He knew that there would be educational issues and behavioral issues, challenges fitting in, and many unknown situations in which we would simply have to travel in the dark to build up that trust. God also knew, though, the victory that laid ahead of us, the good things that He planned, and the purpose that He has in mind for us. And He promised to get us there, just like He did for the Israelites when Joshua led them into the promised land. Our scripture today, which Dan had already chosen for us, was perfect for my testimony. The verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God's instructions to Joshua came as the young leader was surveying the job ahead of him. Moses had died, and now it was Joshua's job to lead the Israelites into the land that God had promised them. Every good thing that God had planned was right there laid out. It was theirs for the taking. But they would have to choose faith over fear. They would have to confront the giants. And we can see by God's choice of words to him that Joshua was scared. I know that feeling, don't you? That's how I felt when I found out I was having a baby with Down syndrome. So I want to share this morning with you a beautiful example of how God kept his promise to go with me, to take my family to a place of victory. And it's also a beautiful example of what accessibility looks like to me. And it begins with the search for a new school for my daughter 2 years ago. We were frantic. School had already started. It was 1 week into the school year, and we did not have a school picked out for Mariana. She wasn't in school. We had enrolled our son in the school of our choice, and we had really wanted Mariana to go there, but they told us they didn't feel that they could meet her special needs. We'd already been down that road before. So Rob and I were driving around trying to figure out what we were going to do, and I noticed a sign for Newberry Christian Community School, and I said, let's pull in there. So we did, and we spoke to the principal. We told him about our situation. We explained to him that she has special needs. We described the environment that we were hoping to give her. And after listening to us pour out our hearts, he said what every parent like us longs to hear. He said, well, we've never had a child with Down syndrome before, but I can't imagine saying no. So we'll do everything we can to make this work. Then he asked her teacher to come in so that he could make sure that she was also on board. And here comes this woman in. She's all smiles. And she says, where is she? I can't wait to meet her. That was a great school year, okay? But our story gets even better. The next year, her brother decides that he wants to move to her school because he wanted to be where she was, and so that was a blessing to us. And I think it's also interesting that the school was on 34th Street, but they just moved to the old Trinity Building on 8th Avenue, which is where I went to church as a child, and where my grandmother went to church, and where Rob and I first met Dan. So that new campus is very special to us. It kind of feels like an extension to Trinity. Well, our story gets better and better. Another door opens, and the school decides to start up a cheerleading squad. And I've always wanted Mariana to try cheer. But I was wondering, you know, are they going to let her do it? Will she behave? And I was already pretty weary because Mariana had just quit dance after many, many years. And I was heartbroken because she loved dance, but she had stopped really participating and she had gotten uncooperative in class. So I almost missed this opportunity to cheer because I was so discouraged. But the coach encouraged me that she wanted Mariana on the team and that it would work out. So we did it. So the coach encouraged me to drop Mariana off, which is something I've never been able to do before, drop her off and leave. So when I come back to pick her up, I see Mariana and another girl holding her feet. Mariana's doing sit-ups. I'm like, what? Mariana doesn't do sit-ups. The next time I drop her off, I see Mariana going with the other girls. They're jogging. So I told the coach, I don't think she can run, you know. I mean, she's got low muscle tone and things, but there she is. She's jogging with everybody else. The next time I come back, I see Mariana. She's in line with all the other girls doing her cheers. No complaints from the coach. Nothing negative at all. And special needs parents will tell you, usually when we pick up our kids, we get an earful of negative, okay? But there was nothing negative. And I'm sure that things happened, but she just handled it. The next time I pick up Mariana, all the girls run to the car, and they say, Mariana's doing a stunt. And I was like, no, she's doing a stunt. I don't think she can do that. You know, she doesn't have the balance. She might fall. You know, what if something happens? And the girls show me her stunt. So now I'm learning a thing or two about what my daughter can and cannot do. I thought I was her biggest cheerleader. I'm learning something. And every single time I go to pick Mariana up, the girls are loving all over her. They're encouraging her. They're watching out for her. They're helping her in every way. They are her friends. So I'd like to show you a picture now of Mariana doing her stunt at one of the football games. One day, I was looking at this picture, and I realized how much this photo represents inclusion. First of all, I see a very diverse group of girls in the picture. Then I see two girls on her knees supporting Mariana. Then I see the one who has her back, and I notice all the other girls are watching. They're encouraging. They look happy for her. And then there's Mariana with her arms wide out, arms strong, confident in the girls who are supporting her. And she's yelling, go Warriors. And then I think about the one who's not in the picture. She's off to the side, but she has done the most to make all of this an incredible experience. It's the coach, Caitlin Brown, and she happens to be here today. So she's going to make me cry. Didn't cry at the other two services. But she has encouraged, mentored, and poured into Mariana. She has worked with the girls to create this team atmosphere. And most importantly, she said yes, even when I wasn't so sure. And it's turned out to be a really good thing. This has been an amazing experience for our whole family, and I have cried many tears of joy over this. This is what inclusion looks like. It begins with a yes, an open heart, yes. We can make that work. An open mind, we've never done that before, but we can. An open door, come on in. We want you here. Open hearts, open minds, and open doors. That is the motto of the United Methodist Church. And that's exactly what we do right here at Trinity. We welcome people. We bring them in, and we love all over them. And as we celebrate Accessibility Sunday today, we thank God for being with us on our journeys. And we thank Jesus Christ for giving us access to the throne room of God 24/7, anywhere we are, by His blood. We pledge to continue to make Trinity a place where there is no barrier to worship. And we pray about what God might want to do next through this church. And I'd also like to thank Dan, who has led us on our accessibility committee and has done so much to make this church a welcoming place. Thank you.
What's the coach's name? Caitlin Brown. Stand up, would you? Caitlin Brown. Wow.
Good morning, or, well, almost afternoon. Switch to next slide, please. Cool. I'm pretty sure everyone knows who these two icons are. I mean, they live in Gainesville. Most people would run towards Albert and Alberta. I would run far, far away. I have a phobia of mascots. It's a real, totally irrational fear. My parents decided to take me to a psychologist after we visited New York City, and I would rather dart into traffic than to walk by one. Here's what the doctor said about my fear. At a very young age, I went under a lot of medical treatments that were very traumatic for me, even if I don't remember them because I was too young. The medical staff had gloves, and most likely their faces were covered. When I see these mascots, it brings back a feeling of terror for me. Well, I had to laugh, because one of my earliest memories was being frightened of purple gloves. I was fitted for braces every 6 months or so. For several reasons, I would grow out of them or they would want to try different ones. I think the medical staff cringed when I arrived because I would scream as soon as I saw the purple gloves. The next medical terror I remember was the Botox shot. I was 4 years old, and Botox is actually a treatment for cerebral palsy. I received the Botox shot in my ankle. It weakened my muscles so that I could rebuild it. The goal was to increase my range of motion so I could walk more heel-toe versus on my toe. For the next 5 years, I feared the Botox shot and never had it again. Next slide. From ages 18 months to 7 years old, I had physical therapy 3 times a week and occupational therapy for 1 a week, mainly to learn how to use scissors and improve my handwriting. My coordination was not the best due to having cerebral palsy. I learned to ride a bike around age 7. Physically, I could do mostly what my peers could do, just slower, less graceful, and it took a longer time to master. At age 7, my parents' insurance company suddenly sent us a letter and said they weren't going to cover my therapy any longer. They really didn't give us a reason why, and they said I was not improving. I guess they don't understand the purpose of physical therapy. The purpose is not to regress. I was never going to be cured of cerebral palsy, but therapy kept me moving and living with it. At the time, my parents enrolled me in some dance classes. Dance kept me stretching and moving. It was not without an injury, though. 3 years ago, I landed wrong on my CP foot and broke it. The insurance did pay for therapy after that. I've danced 8 years, yet I'm still in the intermediate classes. This is the area of my life CP has held me back. However, I love to dance and still enjoy it. Sometimes you just have to enjoy things you might not be the best at. Next slide, please. I want to go over what is cerebral palsy, because a nice lady came up to me and said her son had cerebral palsy and he's never heard the definition. So I want to go over this. Cerebral palsy is a group of disorders that affects a person's ability to move and maintain balance and posture. The disorder appears in the first few years of life. Usually they do not get worse over time. People with cerebral palsy may have difficulty walking. They must also have trouble with some tasks such as riding or using scissors. Some other medical conditions include seizure disorder and medical impairment. Cerebral palsy happens when the areas of the brain that control movement and posture do not develop correctly or they get damaged. Early signs of cerebral palsy usually appear before 3 years of age. Babies with cerebral palsy often are slow to roll over, sit, crawl, smile, or even walk. Some babies are born with cerebral palsy. Others get it after they're born. There is no cure for cerebral palsy, but treatment can improve the lives of those who have it. Treatment includes medicine, braces, physical, occupational, and speech therapy. And this is a definition that I used. I didn't steal it. So some would say I've hit the lottery twice. The first time is because I have cerebral palsy. My mother's pregnancy was not at risk, so there's really no reason why I should have cerebral palsy. The doctor just explained it as one of those things. One out of a million and you're that one. The second time is because my case is so mild. The blood vessel that burst in my brain in the first trimester of my development not only caused me to not move my toes in the right foot and caused me always to be conscious of how I walked. Cerebral palsy can be brutal sometimes. Taking away a person's ability to communicate caused mental disabilities and extreme physical disabilities. So I had to realize there are some things I can't do. Running is not my strength. I look funny, plus I might get hurt while doing it. I love ballet, but I can never do point. It may be possible, but the dangers of breaking a weak ankle kind of outweigh the desire to do it. I tried sports. I'm not good at them. It's not fun to be left behind. However, I did discover something that I love and something that I'm good at, and that is musical theater. At age 4, I was in my first musical, The Sound of Music. I played Gretel. I discovered I had this incredible memory. At age 4, I could not only recite my own lines, but the lines of all my other castmates. Singing, speaking, acting with emotion, these are all things my cerebral palsy could not affect. Singing musical theater songs is my escape. My parents always tell me if they know I'm singing, they know I'm okay. It's when I'm not singing, they are worried. Next slide, please. In sixth grade, I decided I wanted to take a step towards my faith. I wanted to become a confirmed member of the Methodist Church. We lived in Brandon, Florida at the time, and we were members at St. Andrew's Methodist Church. They require you to do a community service project as part of the confirmation process. I chose to create a variety show with my friends to raise money for a little boy with a more severe case of cerebral palsy. His name is Dariel Alicia. At the time, he was 4.5 years old and lived with his parents and older brother in our community. He was born 3 months earlier and was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Dariel had several pieces of positioning equipment, but he needed some type of feeder seat to allow him to eat dinner with his family. I gathered about 20 friends from Brandon and other cities such as Sarasota, and we put on a 2-hour musical theater variety show. We were able to raise $5,000, so Dariel got his theater seat and a scooter chair that allowed him to move more effectively. Next slide, please. I don't see myself as someone with a disability. I see myself like everyone else. I have challenges. I have to make adjustments in my life to accommodate these challenges. I also have great strength. It is these strengths that define me. Recently, I sang at Stop Children's Cancer at the Phillips Center. It was a televised event, and there was probably like 1,000 people in the audience. My solo was about hope. I was so thrilled to sing in front of all those children who have cancer who need hope. I focused on that purpose, so it didn't bother me that I was being televised or singing in front of so many people. God has given me the strength. It's because of Him I no longer have stage fright because I know this is my purpose and what I am meant to do. I actually gain energy from being in front of audiences. So has my experience dealing with cerebral palsy given me the strength? So did God actually give me a challenge in one area of my life because He knew it would give me a greater strength in another area of my life? All I know is for sure, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you.
Those are the real reasons I'm retiring. Those folks are just coming right after me. Wow. What a wonderful, wonderful morning. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to receive Holy Communion. This past Tuesday, Lenora shared at our combined staff meeting in the chapel. Actually, the devotional or piece that she had shared with the Stepping Stones children, she had a basket for the feeding of the 5,000. It was very moving and very powerful. And she reminded us that the little boy brought what he had. And what he had was wonderful, but it was inadequate for 5,000 people.
But he made it available to God. And as Paul reminds us, his strength, his power is made perfect in our inadequacies. And so as we prepare for Holy Communion, I invite you to bring all of yourself to God's grace. And let his grace be sufficient for whatever is going on in your life. And remember that Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." And he invites us to take and eat and feed on him by faith. And Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." He invites us to drink of it. But those of you who are going to help us serve Holy Communion, and we'll meet several of you, and several in our disability awareness group is going to help, and somebody will be beside it. Roger, and are you coming forward, Roger? To help? Okay. While they're coming, let me offer this prayer. Oh God, you've been with us in a powerful way this morning. You've touched our hearts and minds about inclusion, about welcoming. And you've welcomed us into your family, God. You welcomed us to your table, where regardless of whether we're a member or not, or whatever our religious background, we're invited to come and feast. Feast on the manna from heaven. And even as you took the bread on that day and the fish and multiplied it, empower these elements for our forgiveness, for your presence within us. Bless these elements, we pray, and us as we come. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand as Mila and the choir lead us in our singing, and come and receive.
Thank you.
As people are finishing, would you all stand as you're able? And I'll just remind you that after this service, there's a reception for Rosemary, our parish visitor in the atrium. There's also an artist reception on the second floor of the education building for the new art display, which is magnificent. I hope many of you will go over there, see the artwork, meet the artists, and thank you for being here. Myra and Megan and I will be at the door greeting you after the benediction. Would you receive the benediction? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.